There he is. Welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mizzou Mike. And there's old cousin Tiger Shane, who looks fantastic. How are you, buddy?
M-I-Z, baby! What's going on, brother?
Seems like it's been a minute since we've connected.
That's right.
These weekends are getting long. They're too long. I'm giving you too much time off.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Am I on today? No, I got three more days. Yeah, I don't know what to do with these hands. So, no, it's been a long, wild weekend, but it's exciting, right? You know, all this excitement in there. You know, America's turning 250 years old. We're one day closer to college football. You know, it's just a lot of special stuff going on. And maybe I'm just feeling it because I'm in the beautiful Smoky Mountains. But I will tell you, brother, it just feels like football is in the air. And these previews are getting me one day closer.
Well, while you're in the Smokies,
you know where I like to go?
Where's that destination?
Tennessee Legend Distillery. That's right, man. Actually, me and the wife swung by here the other day checking it out. Dude, killer setup. If you get to the one, there's one that's right off 66. So right after you pass Tarjay, you want to swing in there. Not only can you swing by Tennessee Legend, but they got a cider slash wine place next door, a beer place. I mean, it has got every spirit you want. And tell them that the cousin sent you. Not only get a discount, but you will also receive a bonus gift as well. And I'm telling you, man, they were having some damn fun in there doing some tasting, brother. They needed an Uber.
So much spirit. They probably had the Christmas spirit in the middle of summer. You know what?
They were feeling it, man. Absolutely. So be sure to swing in there. Who's that? Oh, my golly.
Mizzou Fed.
Oh, golly. M-I-Z. 50
donations.
Jeez Louise, brother.
We'll get to that if we can. Because we got a lot of talk about Mizzou, damn. Shane.
That's my favorite Mizzou fan right there. Literally. 007 over there.
More than old Drake?
Yeah, I like drink, but you know, he dodges me sometimes, you know, so I don't like that. But you know, he's not too big Mizzou fan. He's the one that put drink in the seat, so
right.
Yeah.
And he's the reason we're doing this Mizzou preview. So
that's
we appreciate
exactly
you.
Right.
Mizzou fan 07. All right, so are you ready to dedicate the rest of the show, Shane, to old M-I-Z?
Hell yeah, let's do it.
All right, so as always, like to shout out last year, what happened a little bit, and, you know, a little bit of a down year, 8-5. Mm-hmm. But again, if 8-5 is a down year, Shane, you got yourself one hell of a program. 4-4 in the conference. Again, not what we were hoping for, but we didn't fall to pieces either. You know what? So there were some highlights. Of course, you beat Kansas. That was, you know, in the – it's funny to me, Shane. People are like, beat Kansas. You talk about that being a good win. Well, you're just letting us know how ignorant you are, and you just don't understand the importance of this game. And I'm not saying Kansas is like some juggernaut, but Drink got a contract extension.
Mm-hmm.
He might have got fired if he lost to Kansas. You know what I mean? Like, I'm kind of kidding, but not really. I mean, that's how big that is for that fan base. That Alabama game was epic. That was two juggernauts going at it at the time.
And officials, just don't forget.
Officials came up just a hair short. And, man, that could have really made it a special season. I think the season would have ended differently. I don't know. You tell me if I'm wrong. But had we just gotten that Alabama win, I think that kind of loomed over the entire thing.
Yeah.
Bo Prabula got hurt. You know, it was just – in that Vanderbilt loss, and then we just kind of hit, you just can't win in this league if you don't have your damn starting quarterback. You know what?
That's the damn truth, man. And I feel like that's been like their Achilles heel the last two seasons, right? It's just healthy quarterbacks, you know, getting something out of them, because they had one of the best defenses in the country. They had, you know, some of the best running backs in the country. And it's just felt like they just couldn't get things going. And a lot of that was with that quarterback room. But I'll tell you, brother, I'm with you. I feel like that Alabama game just hurt. It stung, and it just set them back. And I feel like it cost them the Vanderbilt game. If I'm being truly honest here, just never felt like they got back in gear, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's hard when your quarterback suffers a devastating injury, you know?
Yeah, I know.
But that's not happening this year, Shane. Shut up. This man, Eli Drinkwitz, Shane Eichen. This was to me, I was like, Eli Drinkwitz, what the hell are we doing here, Mizzou? But he has built one hell of a program here, like I said. I mean, he's won double-digit games multiple times. And, hell, he's not had a losing season in conference play since 2022. That was quite a while ago. So he's done a nice job. Here's his record, Shane, against SEC. I mean, back in the day, Vanderbilt was a tough game for you.
Yeah.
When Drink got in here, Arkansas owned you. No, sir. South Carolina, they were winning all these damn games. He has owned all those three teams. You've held your own against Florida. You've won more and you've lost against Auburn, Mississippi State, Oklahoma. Man, remember how much that we were looking forward to that game 2 years ago? And for all the trash, them Sooners talk, Shane, they've only got one win over the Drinkster, just saying. You know, so again, he's got some nice quality wins, and this is what you got to do if you're going to climb up the SEC ladder is beat some of these teams.
That's it. I feel like that's what Mizzou fans are really waiting on, right? I feel like they know they've been a very, very good program, but they haven't been able to take that next step. And I think you pointed out here with A&M, Alabama, Georgia, these are the teams that Mizzou fans want to compete with. Not just compete with, they want to beat, right? And I feel like we're getting closer, but we've just not been able to go over the hump.
Well, we're getting there. We're getting there this year, Shane. Don't you worry. We're getting there this year. Here's a quick recent program history. I thought this was pretty fascinating, Shane. You tell me, as I've dug into these numbers for Missouri.
Yeah.
Here's a couple things I want to shout out. When Drink inherited the job, you can see the talent rank. Missouri was 47th in the country in overall talent. Now, that improved slightly a second year to 45, but again, not much of an improvement. Then 31st, 24, 19, and now 22. So, case in point, he has significantly improved the overall talent of the football program, and I think that is evident when you watch them play and by the fact that they've won so many games in the last three seasons. I think that is all correlated there. You get better talent, you're going to win more games. Mm-hmm. Now, another thing I wanted to shout out, Shane, because you hear it from every damn Mizzou hater out there, and believe me, there's a lot of them. Well, they've just had an easy schedule, that's all. Uh-huh. Well, how about the strength of schedule ranking, Shane? I mean, when they got there, it was the 13th hardest schedule in the country. Now, that was the COVID year, so, I mean, everybody's damn schedule in the SEC was a damn gauntlet. It was 22nd in the country the next year, 12th the next year. Easy schedule, 12th in the country, Shane. Come on. Now, the 34th, fair. That was the year they won 11, but again, still a top 35 schedule. And then 28 2 years ago, 20th last year.
Right.
So this perception that Missouri's just had a damn cakewalk, we're talking the 20th schedule in the country last year. So maybe by SEC standards, that's not elite. But when you're winning multiple games here, or double-digit games, 11 wins, 10 wins, 8 wins, and you're facing a top 30 schedule, I mean, I feel like a lot of people would be surprised by that.
Exactly. And they're surprised that they're top 25 teams, you know? So, yeah, right. If you're winning majority of those games, then that's exactly where you belong. So, I try to give them a little bit of a pass just because of some key injuries the last couple of seasons. But again, going into any Mizzou game, even if I felt like Mizzou was the underdog, I had that feeling that there could be a chance they win this game, you know, and we weren't saying that 5 years ago. So it's just a different program now.
And then last thing I just wanted to shout out here, the defensive success rate.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, look, see that bright red up there? They were 107th in the country when Drink got there. Awful. slight improvement the second year to 91st. And then, buddy, 19th in defensive success rate in 22, 18th in the country in 2023. Took a step back in 24, 54th in the country. That was, you know, transition to a new coordinator. But top 10, best yet in the country, Shane, last season in defensive success rate. So I think Missouri fans are well aware they've had a pretty salty defense the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But I don't know if everybody's aware of it. Again, top 10 in the country, and three of the last four, top 20 in defensive success rate in the country, Shane, is a Missouri Tiger. So, you know, I think they've got quite the defensive program that a lot of people are probably sleeping on.
Well, and I feel like it's because it's the offensive program that Drink ultimately wants to run, right? And run is what I'm putting in quotation marks here. When they're able to run the ball, when they're able to take care of time of possession, it makes that defense better. And nobody does it better than Mizzou right now. And I'm expecting them to do that again coming into this season.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing, Shane. Everybody wants these quarterbacks and receivers. And yeah, you could say like Joe Burrow. I mean, that was maybe that the best awesome. Team ever, right? That's not the way to win.
Yeah.
Who's the greatest of all time, Shane? Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Who's the greatest right now? Kirby Smart. Mm-hmm. Do they want to be throwing it all over the yard? Hell no. They want to play defense and they want to run the football. And I'm not putting Drink in that class, but I think he's following that blueprint.
Yeah.
And to have sustained success, that's what you want. You want a defensive program that can run the ball.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to throw the ball down the field occasionally. Yeah. That's been an issue. But again, we probably have solved that when we get to this transfer portal. But hell, give me a defensive program that can run the football, and I think you got a shot.
Yeah, I think he's got the perfect recipe. This is why he's so damn excited about this football team this year.
Mm-hmm. And Missouri, Shane, they averaged over 200 rushing yards in conference games last year. They were the only team in the country, or excuse me, in the conference to average over 200 rushing yards in SEC play. So I know Oklahoma fans are like, we shut their ass down. Well, you had a hell of a defense, you know? But
yeah,
they had success, more success on the ground than anybody in the conference last season. So I just wanted to shout them out for that. All right, as in terms of offensive returning production, Shane, Mizzou returns 47% of the overall offensive production from last season. That's eighth in the SEC. How is this calculated? Passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards, and offensive line snaps. So a little bit middle of the road, but again, far from bad. Hell, I'd rather be 47th than some of these other teams out here. And with what we've got coming in via the portal, pretty excited about this Missouri offense with Matt Zoll. Hell, if your leading passer, Matt Zollers, is now your backup, that's pretty good depth, I'd say, at the old quarterback position. At rushing, we got 79% of our production back. That's fourth best in the SEC with Ahmad Hardy and Jamal Roberts, of course, leading the way. Receiving yards, just 34%. So that is 12th in the SEC. That's a little bit of a concern. But again, they've addressed that, I think, quite well via the transfer portal, which we'll get to here in a minute. And then offensive line, 56% of the snaps are returning. That is the fifth most in the SEC, Shane, with three returning starters, three of them big uglies up there. This is the blueprint for building out this Drink offense, is getting them linemen back.
Well, it's like if you had to pick passing and receiving or rushing in O-line snaps, which one's Drink taking? Give him rushing in OL snaps all day long. You know what I'm saying? He'll work on the other two.
Mizzou fan, he said, as a Mizzou fan, I'm more excited about this season than Shane is about going to Cracker Barrel.
Oh, easy now.
Then he gets to 20 more.
Oh, shit, Mizzou. This may be Drink. Yeah. He got that new extension.
All right. How about the defensive? Now, here's where we. This, again, we had a top 10 defensive efficiency in the country. Well, That's awesome, right? But what's not awesome is we only returned 32% of that production, which is 15th in the conference. And this is calculated by tackles for loss, sacks, interceptions, and passes defended returning for the Missouri Tigers. And it ain't too pretty, Shane. It's basically the same three guys are all over the board. Shout out to Nicholas Rodriguez. He's our leading tackler with 62. We are 35% tackles back. That's 15th in the conference. Tackles for losses and sacks were only 20%. That's dead last in the Southeastern Conference. Passes defended and interceptions back 41%. That is 13th in the conference. So, again, we got a lot of work to do on the defensive side of the football. You know what?
Just making room, Mike. Just making room. I get it. Listen, this is going to be the ultimate Achilles heel right here is the defense. Yeah. Are they able to reload? And it's going to be tough, but it felt like we were saying stuff like that last year after the year prior, all the NFL draft picks. So I don't know. They're starting to show a system. And if you can reload, then – man, maybe this is just, like I said, this is the new Mizzou.
I mean,
come on.
This is just a defensive program. What can I say? So I'll tell you, old Corey Batum is going to have to earn his paycheck issue. Yeah. Now, he got a contract extension, too. So they're quite pleased with their defensive coordinator. He's going to have to earn that salary this season. Not that he hasn't before. Obviously, he's done a hell of a job. But, again, via the transfer portal, Shane, we're shoring up a lot of these deficiencies. Not via on three, though, those sons of guns. I don't know what their problem is. But we got 30 transfers in, 26 transfers out. On three ranks this as the number 49th portal class in the country. On 24/7, it's got this as the 20th class. So, once again, we've always valued 24/7 on these streets. But I think the difference there, he's on three factors in every guy that leaves your program, they dock you. So
yeah,
I'm kind of kidding with these rankings. I respect both these places, but it always blows me away how vastly different these rankings are. But it's what it is, Shane, because we are happy with the guys we got, and we are happy that they left the other ones. We got Austin Simmons, star of the show, perhaps, of all our portal additions. How far this program goes this year could very well come down to how successful Austin Simmons is, who, man, I went back and even listened to a great interview with Neil McCready, not even the one we had this year, but the one prior.
Yeah.
Saying, man, Auburn wanted this guy. He's making millions of dollars. Lane Kiffin loves him. We think they think he's got the potential to be better than Jackson Dart. I mean, this is Ole Miss people saying it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if he can, he didn't even have to be that good, but if he's just close to it, God, I mean, he might be the breakout star in the damn country, not the SEC, the country, Shane. But he really, you know, this is going to be his shot. He's been hyped to no end. He's got to do it this year. Robert Woodyard at linebacker, he was a massive addition. He was outstanding at Auburn. Of course, we know the coaching transition there, so naturally he's going to get the hell out of there. Caden Lee, he was awesome for Ole Miss. He was their arguably their most productive receiver last year, and he's very tight with Austin Simmons. So we got that combination reuniting in Columbia. This Baylor defensive end, Morgan, is very intriguing. He was a four-star transfer. And then we basically just added as many defensive backs as we possibly could via the portal because we've needed them. Like Chris Graves, who started at Ole Miss, this Auburn guy, he played extensively. Oregon, Jaleel Florence, he's not played the last couple of years. He's been banged up, but he was a elite recruit himself. And then a name to watch, Shane, is this receiver, Caleb Goody.
Yeah.
Speed Demon from Cincinnati. Now, there is one guy I left off here. He should rank very high on this list, Shane.
Yeah.
Offensive tackle Josh Adkins from Arizona State. He was going to be our plug-in right tackle. He got hurt during the spring, and they're saying he's likely going to miss time. No definitive time on when he'll be back, but Drink has said September, maybe October. So, I mean, I'm hoping he gets back a lot sooner than that because we're going to need him on the offensive line. But, you know, when I hear he may not be back till October, I don't really know how high I can really put him on a transfer impact list. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think when you look at the list like this, the Austin Simmons, Caden Lee, that really stands out just because, like you said, the chemistry that's already intact. But I do love the defensive backs that we went after. And you mentioned some that Elijah Dotson, you don't forget, he was a top 100 recruit. He's also a guy that has seen the field multiple times. I think 12 games, they said, as a true freshman. So, you know, you've got some talent. It's not just a guy that you're a body you're bringing in. You're talking about somebody that was a contributor for Michigan, for Auburn, for, you know, these guys were starters. So I think we really did retool this defense quite a bit.
Right. And shout out Mike. I know he's a big loyal Sooner. Mm-hmm. This is an excellent point too, because and it's fair.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking about Simmons getting hyped up because that Georgia touchdown drive, which,
yeah,
I was pretty damn excited when I watched it, Shane. I don't know about you, but if you don't remember, this was Jackson Dart last year. He got hurt.
Yeah.
And it was looking bad, right? And then they just inserted Simmons. I believe Georgia had scored on the last possession. It was like, Jackson Dart just got hurt. Georgia just scored. This game might be literally over before it started. And then he marched them all the way down to a touchdown. And then Jackson Dart, of course, came back and they whooped Georgia's ass. So, yeah, I mean, that factors into it as well. But, again, he made the plays against the SEC champion, you know what? So we got to give him credit for that.
That's funny because it's like I got paired with this random at a golf course, you know, and the first drive just dropped it. And I'm like, this guy thinks I'm good, you know? Second one went two fairways over because now I'm nervous, you know? So it's like you set the bar, the expectations. Everyone was watching that game. So I do think that there's a little pressure with that. But, you know, I felt like there was a lot of pressure on Simmons to perform last year. Not so much this year. I don't feel like he's going to be looking over his shoulder. They named him early. I feel like they want to build his confidence back up.
Mm-hmm. And then quickly on recruiting, again, we're hitting the portal so heavily and putting all that money on the deep recruiting. What's that? 29th in the country, 11th in the SEC. You know, they probably looked around and said, just the talent's not there right now. You know, we got to invest in the portal. But they did get the number 6 tight end, Shane, Jack Brown. Shout out. It's a cool name. Chris Harris, the number 27 receiver in the country. Lawrence Britt, the number 41 receiver. Safety Kerryon Gover, 32 safety. And Braylon Warren, Shane, 27 quarterback in the country. Those are all the 4 stars they added. So, again, I don't know. Will any of these guys make an impact this year? Maybe, maybe not. But we're just building depth. You know what?
That's it. We don't need them to contribute right now. You know, we just need them to learn the playbook, put some weight on, you know, get ready for next season. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, these kids, a lot of kids these days, that's one thing that we don't talk near about as much is these freshmen that are coming in are a lot more prepared for collegiate activity than we ever were in the 80s or 90s. You know what I'm saying? Go to watch an IMG game. You know what I'm saying?
You were a freshman in the 80s? You're older than I thought.
That's when we were good. So I always go back. I like to rope them in because actually our high school was really good in the 80s. So I saw our 80s team, you know, I'm like 6 on the sideline, like radio playing football over there.
Well, one guy we hope is back, Shane. And whooping ass, of course, Ahmad Hardy, shut out.
Yeah.
Again, no update as of this recording, but I've not heard anything negative, Shane. I've heard nothing on, you know, there's any kind of setback or anything like that. So fingers crossed. I'm kind of assuming that he's going to play. I don't know when he'll technically be back, but I did want to shout that out before we get into predictions and before we get into ranking the position groups, Shane. Now, this is my best guess, again, on the 2 deep here.
Yeah.
For the Missouri Tigers. This is always very difficult to do in the middle of summer. I mean, sometimes we guys get booted or God forbid injured or who knows. You know what I mean? So it's my best guess here. But I think.
Yeah.
And we had Steven on yesterday. Outstanding show. Go check it out if you missed it. Best running back room in the Southeastern Conference. And I agree with old Steven Shane. He says it's old M-I-Z with Ahmad Hardy and Jamal Roberts here. This two-headed beast here. First team All-SEC running back. Jamal Charles had nearly 800 yards, six touchdowns himself. And he had multiple 100-yard games against SEC competition. So any issue putting the running backs first among the offensive position groups for Mizzou?
No, not even close. Yeah, this one was a no-brainer.
Okay. And then the next.
On this note, just Jamal Roberts, right? I feel like he could be a starter for more than half the SEC teams right now. So to have him on the quote unquote backup, I wouldn't even say that. I think this is obviously Hardy's going to get 50 carries a game, but I do think that Jamal Roberts is a sleeper as far as elite talent in this league.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then, hey, I'm kind of splitting hairs here. Because I could put the offensive line next, and I would have no issue if you wanted to do that. But I would have put receivers and tight ends back as the second best position group on the offense. We got Brett Nordfleet back. Mm-hmm. He's a hell of a player and really an elite run blocker, which is so valuable in this Missouri offense. Donovan Alugabe, he is breakout candidate, big time, sophomore year. He was making an impact last year. And then we already mentioned some of these transfers. Caden Lee from Ole Miss, Caleb Goody from Cincinnati, Kendrick Lanier, Minnesota, Nashawn Montgomery, transfer from Florida. We're deep, we're talented, and I think Missouri is going to have a really good weapons all around Austin Simmons this year.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like this team is a little more portal dependent than some of the others. Right. And I feel like that could be really good if it all comes together at the right time, but it also could, you know, have potential fall apart if it doesn't work. So this is like, this is almost like, I hope the ceiling floor on this team is ridiculous for me right now.
Right. So then, like I said, I'm splitting hairs here. Offensive line, third best position group, in my opinion, on the offense. With three starters back, Caden Green, of course, shifting back out to left tackle this season. Dominique Giudice, I think is how you say it, the center, he's back. Curtis Peeler, right guard, starting right guard's back.
Yeah.
And then we've got guys like Tristan Wilson and Logan Reichert that have played pretty well. They're also back. Zach Owens transferred from Mississippi State. And I already mentioned Josh Atkins, Arizona State. He was projected to start at right tackle before his spring injury. So I technically got him as a backup. Hopefully he'll be back, and hopefully he's our starter, because I think the unit's a lot better with him potentially in there. But this is a really, really good offensive line too. So, again, Missouri's got a lot of the pieces you'd want to have one of the best offenses in the conference.
Yeah, a couple of all-SEC guys here, you know what I'm saying? So it's not just – big bodies that was able to push the line last year. We got some real talent that will be looked at in the NFL before you know it. So it's just, you know, fine tuning some of these other pieces, some of these new guys. And you know, when you got a really good running back or a group of running back paired with somebody that can actually throw down the field, I think it makes your life a little bit easier up front. So I'm really excited to see what this big O does.
And then last but not least, so I got the quarterbacks. And again, we got Austin Simmons.
Yeah.
We've got Matt Zollers, who started a couple games. We've got Nick Ivers, who's transferring in. So he's a very experienced guy. He was at Oklahoma. He was at UConn. Very experienced. Very few quarterbacks rooms in the country have three guys that have played and started football games. But we have that at Missouri. So it's interesting to put them and dead last. But again, I think that speaks more to the overall talent and depth on this offense. Mm-hmm. And there is a world chain where the quarterbacks may be the best of this entire offense. So I'm not sitting here saying they're bad, but I'm trying not to buy into the hype either, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's circle back around after the third game, you know. And then we'll tell you we were either really right or really wrong.
All right, so I'm going to quiz you one more time. I know you hate when I put you on the spot here.
Yeah.
Here's the defensive depth chart. Anything stand out to you, Shane, that this would be totally unique to any of the fall camp previews we've done up to this point for the Missouri's defense?
Up to this point, I mean, there's a lot of yellow, a lot of transfers.
That's true. Anything else? You were so close.
Damn, there's something else. I have no idea.
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to trick you, brother.
I feel like
there's not one returning starter. There's not one returning starter on the entire defense for Missouri. So, again, like you said, there's a lot of yellow. I mean, they have really hit the transfer portal to shore this up. And there's a lot of these players are talented, and a lot of them have made plays. I'm not saying they're, again, you just look at that front seven. I mean, that these guys played in 12 games, 13 games, 13 games. They were all in the field.
Yeah.
All last year. So these are not like scrubs out here that can't play. Nicholas Rodriguez, probably our best defensive player that's returning. Darius Smith is there as well. And they played in a combined 24 games last year. So these guys are experienced. So it's a little tricky to say no returning starters, but it's just technically accurate. But after working through this depth chart, I think there's a lot more experience on this defense than I realized, just from the fact that I knew all offseason that they had no returning starters, which again is obviously a huge, huge red flag. But I think we got something to work with, and I'm going to put these linebackers as the best position group on the defense with Nicholas Rodriguez, Robert Woodyard, and then I don't know if you technically, I guess Darius Smith is more defensive end than linebacker, but I'm counting him as a linebacker, outside linebacker for this exercise, because I'm saying the linebackers are the best unit on this defense.
I think you would have been a great joker position. I feel like that that would have been you. I still think I'm going to be nose tackle, but I like the linebackers. A couple of things that really stand out too is you know, they brought in a lot of veteran guys. So it wasn't like they got it the youngest, you know, upside transfers. They brought some guys in with a lot of experience, and I feel like that may help this defense shore up quicker than maybe some other teams that are going through the portal.
Mm-hmm. For the second position group, Shane, I would say defensive backs.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm splitting hairs here. Chris Graves was very solid at Ole Miss last year. Santana Banner is a guy I continue to hear great things about as a future, even NFL prospect. So, you know, I think you got your back end covered with Santana back here. And then they hit it pretty hard with the portal.
Yeah.
So they've given themselves options, which that's basically what you got to do when you're losing everybody, is just give yourself a ton of options and work it out. And we've got an experienced coordinator. You know, it's up to him to make sure all these pieces fit together. But Corey Batoon, you know, this is why they pay you the big bucks right here.
Well, you know, they asked him, you know, basically Drink and Corey went out here and went shopping. That's what they said. And when Drink was asked, this is one of my favorite lines, he goes, "This defense isn't being rebuilt, Mike. It's being assembled."
Right. And then, so again, I guess last I would have to say defensive line here.
Yeah.
But again, very experienced guys that are inserting into this lineup. Gracial's a solid player. Marshall's a solid player. Kitchens played a ton. And we've added players via the transfer portal. So they have got options up here. But that is probably the position group I've got the biggest questions about, which not ideal. You know, I'll be keeping it real. You know, we always give these teams credit when they're strong on the line of scrimmage. And right. I'm not saying they're not strong here, but there's a lot of uncertainty after losing, again, more guys to the NFL off that defensive line.
Yeah, and this is the one you, like you said, you want to have hit quicker than later. So it is, you know, kids that are, you know, used to the system, if you will. So I think there may be a little bit of a leg up just because of that top experience, and they did get to play last year. I mean, defense is going to be a revolving door. You're going to have a lot of bodies in there, but it was mainly working out the depth, and I feel like they did a really good job with the portal this year on that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and shout out the Cousins. I appreciate the feedback in the comments. It's hard to engage while dumping all this data and everything. But I did omit something, Shane. So that we do got a new offensive coordinator. They're talking about it in the comments. Chip Lindsey.
Yes.
And I have his some of his statistics here. And his statistics are hard because he's been a head coach. So I didn't know if he's calling the plays as he's head coach. I really don't know. He was at Auburn for a little bit under Gus Malzahn. And I know for a fact Gus Malzahn was calling the plays. So I didn't know if we should count that for Chip Lindsey. I don't know. He's had an interesting career, but I did want to share some of his offensive efficiency because it is actually a little bit better than I realized. And this is just the last couple years back to at Central Florida with Gus. 16th, number 16th offensive success rate in the country. So that was very solid. At North Carolina, Shane.
Yeah.
21st in the country, which is pretty good. But that I believe that was the year they had the quarterback, Drake May.
Yeah.
And then when he went off the NFL, it fell off a damn cliff all the way back to 80. And then last year, you know, it was a little bit of a obviously it was a train wreck with the Sherrod Moore. But the offensive success rate was 37th. But they had a freshman quarterback.
Yeah.
And again, they had a head coach that was more interested apparently in his sexual life than he was coaching a football team. So again, I don't know how to grade Chip Lindsey based on this information, but I'm just presenting it. And the numbers are better than what I thought they would be, aside from that one year where it kind of went off the cliff without Drake May. And again, I don't follow North Carolina, so I don't really, I wish I could give more information on what that team looked like, but it was better than what I thought is basically is the point.
Yeah, and again, he's not coming in here to reinvent the wheel, Mike, right? You know, I feel like this is when you've been in this business this long, you're good at adapting wherever you're at. So I feel like that's what this hire was all about.
Right. When you're coming in to work for an offensive coach who the rushing attack is the envy of basically everybody.
Yeah.
And you're bringing back stud running backs and you're bringing back starting offensive linemen. I mean, it's common sense. They're not going to blow up the offense. You know what I mean? But they do need to tweak the passing game. And that's what's going to be very fascinating to see what Chip Lindsey, what tweaks he can present and maybe some ideas. Because again, I think Drake, if he's being honest with himself, saying, all right, there's a lot that we're doing is working and there's a lot that's not.
Yeah.
And a lot of coaches, believe it or not, a lot of them say, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that's how I got to Missouri as head coach, making probably too much money, but $10 million a year. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need advice, but the smart ones realize that they do. And I think Drink is wisely doing that here.
Yeah. And I feel like some of the best seasons when he was able to kind of release the reins, if you will, a little bit. So hopefully he'll be able to do that again this season.
Hey, shout out P5.
Hey, come on, cuz.
Not getting scolded for donating from a zoo show. SEC Mike, you are starting to like us, but Brodo says only for this show that you have to love us today. You know, there might be some truth in there. You know what?
Oh, man. I wish I could have got you up there. Columbia is a special place. They don't talk about it near enough. It is a special place. And we had, and my kids to this day, they'll never, like, they'll never not remember that trip. It was amazing.
Mm. You know what else is potentially amazing, Shane?
What's that, man?
Getting Blake Craig back. Now, I didn't mention that when we were talking last year either, but outstanding kicker.
Mm-hmm.
Got injured on kickoff. Remember that? Yeah. And it was a season ender. And then it was a train wreck kicking field goals the rest of the year. So again, you can sit here and say it's excuses, or you can sit here and say it's reality. If you don't have your damn kicker, who's one of the best in the damn country, And then you just get you don't know whether you get the red zone, whether you're even going to add 3 points. I mean, that changes a lot of things. So who knows? That could have changed the season last year had he been there. But he's back, and I think that a return like that is not going to get a ton of publicity outside of Columbia, but could be something that could be the difference between 9 or 10 wins this year.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I do think it changes coach. It changes everything, right? If you don't have the confidence, especially, within 50 yards there, it changes the play calling. It changes maybe some of the risks that you're able to take or not take. So yeah, I think nothing's worse than not having a kicker. Trust me, every team has went through that, man. It is miserable.
And when your kicker's got a nickname, Shane, you know he's special. Happy to have Craig the leg back. You know what?
That's right. Dude, I remember when, was it Derek Dooley, that he was trying out frat guys to kick field goals? We're like, shit, this is where we're at.
Hey, shout out Bazoofa. Drake doesn't get enough credit for the rest of the staff that he brought in this year on offense and special team. That's true. He also added the good Riley, Shane, not Lincoln, but his brother, Garrett Riley, I think it is, to coach quarterback. So, again, I mean, he's bringing in a guy that was offensive coordinator for TCU when they went all the way to the national championship.
Yeah. Hey, man, when I think elite coaching, we go to Nick Saban, we go to Kirby Smart. One of the reasons that we go to them, not only success on the football field, but the success that's under the tree that they're creating by bringing talent in and getting – poached. Let's just call it like it is. And if your coordinators are getting poached at the end of the season, that means you're doing something right on that side.
Mm-hmm. And hey, I'll never forget this, Shane. I have heard from SEC coaches.
Yeah.
This was a long time ago, but it stands out to me because I totally didn't realize it, but they're 100% right. Remember the COVID year, Alabama basically just beat the hell out of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they won the national championship, undefeated national champions. But you go back, they said there was one team that gave them fits. Do you have any idea who that was?
MIZ?
In Drink's first game, too.
Oh.
That was his first game, was coaching Alabama. And, Alabama won, I think, by like 13 points or something.
Yeah.
Which that's kind of what you expect, right?
Uh-huh.
Nick Saban, first year Missouri. But then they beat everybody else by like 38 points. So it's like, whoa, wait, Missouri was doing something right. So a lot of people went and studied to what Missouri did against that Alabama team. And again, he's been a good coach since day one up there.
Oh, yeah. I remember Georgia going up there. Remember that? And then they ended up, they're like, damn, we got to steal this receiver. And that's what they did. They brought him down there. So, yeah, I felt like Mizzou, they've been notorious for, you just can't pencil them off as a win anymore. They're going to fight you tooth and nail every single Saturday.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane. So before we get into the schedules.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing, this is new, so I always forget, Shane. But I like to shout out, again, the Athlon coach comments that Steven provides us. I just like to refresh because I think these are awesome. Ahmad Hardy, this is what they said about Missouri. Ahmad Hardy is one of the top 5 running backs in college football the last decade, Shane. That kid is special. Hiring offensive coordinator Chip Lindsey was a great hire for who they are and what they're trying to build as a program. So there's you some love. From the anonymous coaches. And they also said, hey, they've got really good receivers. Last year, I don't think they could get downfield the way they wanted to. With Austin Simmons coming in, I think they'll be much better on offense. They'll run what Drink wants to run. Last year, they ran more gun run for old Bo Prabula. And Simmons isn't a gun run guy. They're really more of a stretch run, get downfield with the passing tree. This year, they'll be able to do that. So... Oh. Again, all this, like, man, last year they didn't have this. This guy was hurt. They just basically, based on those comments, they didn't have any of the pieces to do anything they wanted to do.
Yeah.
They won 8 games, Shane.
Yeah.
I mean, and you may roll your eyes and be like, 8 games. Well, you know who you can't win 8 games, Shane? Florida, Auburn, mm-hmm. you know, teams that are like, we're championship or bust around here. You can't even LSU. Win the damn game. LSU. Exactly. So, I mean, this is where we're at. If this is an off year and we're winning eight games, I mean,
yeah.
good Sign luck, me SEC.
Up. Sign me up.
Good luck. You know what?
I love how people start getting upset, too. They're like, damn, we only got eight games. And it's like, you forget what life was like pre-drink, you know?
You want to go back to Barry Odom? Yeah. I don't think you do.
But he can ride a bull, Mike.
Shout out, cousin Chase. Mike, don't forget. Yeah, we mentioned Morgan and Edge. Also, yeah. D. Hopkins. So, drink, raved about. There you go. I mean, they got guys we don't even know about, Shane, and are whooping ass up there. You know what? Just want you to know about it.
Oh, God, you got tearing up just thinking about it, Mike. Tearing up.
All right, so let's take a look at the schedule here. 6.5 over under. What?
What?
I don't know what they're drinking over there, but SEC championships, Shane, 30-1. National championships, 80-1 for the Missouri Tigers. What are the biggest question marks for this team entering fall camp, Shane? You know, I think it's... on offense, I think it really is. I mean, obviously, it goes without saying, Hardy, his status,
yeah.
Where's he at with that? But I think that's kind of cheating because that's not really a team-specific question. But we got three returning starters on the offensive line. Kind of those other two, I think that's kind of the biggest question to me because, hey, every nice thing I just said, right? Let's say you have one starting offensive lineman that is, like, totally in over his head.
Yeah.
It could blow up the whole thing. And I'm not saying that's the case, but that's just the reality of that position and playing in this damn conference. So
yeah.
I think that is critical. Offensive line, establishing the other two starters, that's kind of the biggest question I have for the offense. And then for the defense, man, it's tough with all the moving pieces to kind of narrow it down into one. But for me, it's probably the secondary, getting all those guys on the same page. We'd love to blitz and bring pressure, and that kind of helps the secondary out. So that should give them some time to kind of adjust. But I don't know who we're going to play and where we're going to play him in the secondary, and that's a huge question mark with that game at Kansas week two and Mississippi State week four. If we're still searching for answers in the defensive backfield, those are teams that'll make you pay.
Yeah, and I do like how the schedule sets up because you got so many new faces and new places. But, you know, I think that second game, man, we're going to get to it here in a second on the road against Kansas. It's like you can't afford to still be trying to figure it out 2 weeks in.
Right.
Because these are games you have to get because look at your schedule in the back half. They won't be talking about an easy schedule in Columbia anymore. I promise you that. Because they absolutely going to get hammered this year as far as scheduling.
Yeah. And then two areas, Shane, statistically.
Yeah.
We really need to work on here. And the first one, I think it kind of goes without saying. It's more than just the passing offense. Mm-hmm. It's explosive plays in the passing game. Missouri, pass plays of 20 or more yard, Shane, ranked 106th in the country. Oh! No, very few plays of 20 or more yards. It's even worse when you get to 30 or more. 129th. I think it's only 130. So
I had the same amount of explosive plays last year, Mike, as Mizzou did. That's not good.
So we've got to reintroduce that to the offense. I think that's number one for fixing things on the offensive side of the football. How about defense, Shane? This blew me away. I couldn't believe it. I don't know if you're going to believe it, Shane. We only forced 12 turnovers last year. 12 with this defense, which is top 10 in defensive success rate. Only forced 12 turnovers. We were 104th in the country in turnover margin. And they didn't even turn the ball over that much on offense. But if you're not forcing it at all, won a game, that ain't going to cut it. So we've got to do a lot better forcing, particularly with this defense, Shane. I think the biggest Mizzou homer is going to say, yeah, we're probably not going to be as good Doesn't mean we're going to be bad, but we're not going to be as good. More difficult schedule, no returning starters. How do you fix that, Shane, if you're not as good on defense, but you can is just force turnovers?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's going to be critical, I think, for Missouri. If they're going to have a really good season, they must force turnovers on defense.
Yeah. Going to have to create negative plays as well. So that's for me on that defensive front. You know, usually there's one or two big uglies up there that are just game wreckers. Do we have that on this football team? Because if we don't, it just puts so much pressure on everyone else behind them. So, it's kind of funny. You talked about the offensive line. Maybe just the offensive defensive line is that simple. Do they come together?
Mm-hmm. Let's come together, shall we, Shane, on win, loss, or toss. Come on, buddy. Talking this Mizzou football. That's how I got it on the win, loss, toss for Mizzou. Let me bring that back up. So you let me know if I got anything wrong here, Shane. Let's start with the wins for Missouri. These are games that I think should be, without a doubt, wins for Missouri next year. Yeah. Peanut butter at home? Come on, get the hell out of here. At Kansas, I don't respect Kansas.
No.
Troy, John Summerall left, they're dead to me.
Yeah.
At Mississippi State, again, they could be much better, but we basically say that every year, and it's the same old, same old. Florida, yeah, it's not a gimme, but you're getting them at home.
Yeah.
Arkansas, you own their ass. Kentucky, man, they're excited about Will Stein, aren't they?
Yeah.
Till they see him coach a couple games here. So I got seven. Seven should be wins. Do you disagree with any of the wins that I got there?
No, I think you are correct there. Seven wins is the number.
Okay, and then we get to the toss-ups. Now here's where it gets interesting, Shane. A&M at home, at Ole Miss. I realize these were playoff teams, but hey, Missouri wasn't that far off either. Texas at home. Oklahoma at home.
Uh-huh.
I got all four of those as toss-ups.
Ooh, even Texas, huh? Yeah. I'm glad Steven's
Well, some
not
of us see
here.
Through the Texas hype, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad Steven's not on here, Mike, because he would have a fit right now. So, but yeah, let's roll with it. Let's roll with it.
Okay, and then I have at Georgia as the only should be lost. Doesn't mean you're going to lose it.
Right.
I've had should be losses on here and picked a win, but yeah. I think it blows people's freaking minds when I do that, Shane, but that's how I see it. And do you disagree with that at all?
No, I do not disagree with that one.
Okay. Well, are you ready to go through the schedule week by week, Shane?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Now remember, this is as a Mizzou fan, right? This is optimistically looking at the schedule. I'm saying this is exactly how it's going to play out, but I am going to say this is how I think it'll play out as a Mizzou fan.
Well, make sure you bring your jelly because we're whooping peanut butter's ass. We could. We might score 80 points in that one, don't you think?
Yeah, this is when we start having the Austin Simmons parade, right? When we see one explosive play on the second series. So, yes, this is a big win, big confidence boost for that football team.
Okay, now week two. Dangerous game, perhaps, Shane.
Yeah.
On the road, playing Little K, Kansas. You know, it's going to mean a lot to those folks up there. I think I don't know. I don't pay attention to scrub football, but I don't think they had a great year last year. But I do like the coach they have up here. I think he's pretty good. I think their quarterback's back. So he was solid. Of course, not solid enough to beat us last year. But again, I think there's. I think if you were just looking at these two teams on paper, you say, yeah, Missouri's going to whoop that ass, right? But
yeah.
I think it's not that easy, Shane, with this being a rivalry, with this being on the road. Well, upset, Shane. So I'm calling one early. Get the hell out of here. Kansas is going to get smoked on September 11th at home.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't you think?
I think so. And, you know, there will be some, I feel like, growing pains in this game. You know, what they maybe got away with against peanut butter, they're not going to be able to get away with baby Kansas.
But I don't know, man. I feel like Kansas really is going to take a step back this season. And you pair that with a Mizzou team that is built to just pulverize the front. I feel like that's exactly what Mizzou's going to do here. So big win here, big confidence boost, 2-0 starting the season.
I don't know how you take a step back from dog shit, but I guess Kansas will find a way.
You know, I was watching Mortal Kombat and that Cage guy, you know, he ripped the heart out. I felt like mm-hmm. that's exactly what Mizzou did when they played these guys. You got the kicker coming out there. Didn't even want to make money. Just wanted to piss off Kansas. I loved it. So, let's this rivalry is going to kick into another gear, especially when you go to their stupid stadium and whoop them in front of all their fans.
Shane, they'd have to have a heart to rip it out. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. No heart in Kansas, is there?
Come on, Troy. I ain't wasted time on you. If we're beating these other two, we're cruising a 3-0, right?
Yeah. Now, if Chip Lindsey were up there, maybe, but he's not. He's your coordinator.
All right. So then we'll get into conference play, Shane. Mm-hmm. Mississippi State. Interesting. Year 3 for Jeff Lebby.
Yeah.
It's on the road. The Cowbells shall be a ringing. I think Kamario Taylor, I think he'll probably have a lot of success against his defense even.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff Lebby, I've been very critical of him as a head coach, but I've also praised him mightily for being a great offensive coordinator, a fantastic quarterback coach. He's going to do a hell of a job working for Sarkisian next year as the offensive coordinator down there in Austin. But it ain't going to be enough, Shane. This is when things start going wrong for Old State. Come on. I think Mizzou's going to run all over their ass.
But it's a scary matchup just because I don't think Mizzou fans are looking at this game, you know, as a – I mean, you talk about win-loss toss. It's not even in the realm of reality that they could lose to this team. But I feel like Jeff Lebby, coaching for his job, has got a few SEC games circled, and he's going to mean a little bit more during the prep week. And this is one. This is one that they got to get. So I do think that this game is closer than it should be, but I've got Mizzou with too much firepower. So give me a win here for them Tigers.
Okay, now it really ramps up, Shane. Florida coming to town. I think they finally have some competent coaching with old John Summerall and Buster Faulkner, an offensive coordinator, Brad White, defensive coordinator. I mean, that's a hell of a trio of coaches right there. And despite what the record says, Florida had a lot of talent last season, Shane. So, again, I don't think it's going to be a gimme by any means. I think we could have, two – potentially two of the best rushing attacks in the conference going head to head in this game, Florida, Missouri.
Yeah.
But we're playing at home, Shane. Come on. We're getting a 5-0. I do think Florida will be much improved.
Yeah.
And I've been hyping them all off season. I've been hyping them up. But at some point, Shane, you kind of got to give, it's so easy to be like, we've not seen John Summerall do anything wrong at Florida.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he will do anything wrong. And I don't mean scandalous either. I just mean like drop a game or stupid decision, whereas we have maybe seen that from Drink a time or two. So it's like we all get excited with the shiny new toy, because there's no blemishes on it.
Right.
I'm giving credit where credit's due. You're building a program at Missouri. You're winning games year after year. The foundation has been laid.
Yeah.
And I just don't think you could be losing to a team's – as talented as they may be, first year on them coming to your house, you got to beat Florida.
You do. But again, this is another one. I think back to the last time Florida came up there, this was supposed to be Mizzou steamrolling them. And then all of a sudden they're fighting for their life there in the fourth quarter. So this would be a really, really good football game. But I do think Mizzou will be locked in by this point. This defense will be together at this point. And this offense, brother, I feel like could put a whooping on the Florida Gators if they get that crowd behind them in that brand new stadium. So give me a win for them Tigers.
But will it be the following week, Shane? Now we're getting interesting.
Yeah.
A&M coming back to Columbia, second time in a row.
Yeah.
It was these two idiots picked Missouri. I think the last 2 years to beat him, Shane.
Yeah.
And each of the last 2 years, A&M has owned our ass. So that's why we had to do that stupid dance last year. I'm a big believer in Coach Elko and A&M. Yeah. And I'm not making the same mistake again, Shane. Give me
A&M.
I think that's the first loss. Until you beat them.
Yeah.
I just can't give it to you. You know, you got to show. And they don't even just sometimes show up for that game, which is true.
No. Yeah, it was a really, really ugly game last year for Mizzou fans. And I see where you're coming from. And then we go back to the blanket and all the other noise that was outside. You know what I'm saying? This has just been an embarrassing matchup here lately. And I'm kind of with you, Mike. It feel like you got to see it before you can believe it. But, you know, a broken clock's right twice a day. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not in on the Elko train. Give me Mizzou finally taking it out on Texas A&M. So the winning streak continues. They don't lose at home.
Will you do the dance if you're wrong?
Well, I mean, this is optimistic.
He's not too confident. Okay.
51% right now.
Well, that will make next week's game even bigger, Shane, at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Again, what will they look like under Pete Golding as full-time head coach? That's going to be interesting. That could be quite the showdown. I think this will be a very, very high-scoring football game. Mm-hmm. It's the Austin Simmons Bowl, his return to Oxford. Little extra juice there. We've got Mizzou fans are dead set Hardy's the best running back. Ole Miss fans dead set Lacey's the best running back. So that we got that little angle to see who has the better performance, Shane. I don't think Oxford's that difficult a place to play. I really don't, Shane. And it's not going to be for Mizzou because they're going on the road and going to pull the upset. That could be a season definer, though, because if you drop two in a row,
yeah,
again, it's not going to – the season's not over, but, you know, playoffs will be on the brink if you drop two in a row right in the middle of the year with some really tough games remaining.
And one of those transfer teams deal, you know what I'm saying? You got all these new guys in here, and I'm sure leadership's going to be present and felt in that locker room, but if it's not, then we may have some dragon coming into that week. And that's one you cannot take your foot off the gas, especially if you do have an upset last week against Texas A&M. But I don't think it happens, man. I'm going to stay on the win train right now. And I feel like Ole Miss is going to take a step back. This is going to be big for all those Ole Miss transfers that came in. They're going to get up for this game. So give me another win for those Mizzou Tigers.
Maybe we get game day for Arkansas, Shane. Get the hell out of here, Silver Fox. New coach, same results. Mizzou is going to whoop your ass. I don't care where that game's played. Arkansas's got to win one of these before I ever pick them to do it.
Hopefully it'll be early so we can, you know, watch the other games.
All right, so that, according to you, that would set up perhaps a monumental showdown with Texas.
Yes.
Coming to town. Arch Manning, Steve Sarkisian, God's gift of football out here, Shane. Man, I don't know if you heard our buddy Bobby Burton on Texas football does a hell of a job. He was on Feinbaum today. He said, we got 30 NFL players on this. 30, probably. He said, well, they ain't all seniors, but there's 30 of them will go to the NFL. So it's the best team, he says. It's a national championship. I mean, how could you be?
What do they even talk about Texas? Barbershops? You know, they just talk about the other sports because they done wearing the ring, Mike.
I know, crowd their ass, right? So Texas going all the way, undefeated, national championship. Not on this show, damn it. Upset. Mizzou is beating Texas. Texas doesn't know about going up here to Mizzou. I think, you know, just like last year, I'm not comparing it necessarily to Florida, but there's going to be a game where Texas trips up, and I think it could be this one, a high-scoring matchup. I think Austin Simmons outscores Old Arch. I think Mizzou takes Texas down.
I'm worried a little bit about this one, Mike, because that big game scenario, that coaching record we were talking about, can he get the big one? You know, I do feel like Texas A&M would have been a big one. Ole Miss on the road would have been a big one. But Texas, this will feel like Alabama last year 2.0. And I felt like we came into that game a little tight. I may do that here. So I feel like this is where Mizzou gets their first loss of the season. So give me a loss against those Texas Longhorns.
Will Steven pick that game for you?
Yeah. Is that good, Steven? Yeah, he says keep rolling. He may have a gun pointed at me. I don't know. I cannot confirm or deny.
All right, next game, Shade, at Mighty Georgia.
Yes. Ooh. Yeah.
Georgia's good. Of course, we play them tight. We play them tight. We haven't played them here lately, but when we were playing them, I mean, nobody played Georgia tighter in the SEC East than old MIZ. Can they do it going to Athens? It's going to be a hell of a showdown, Shane, particularly if Ahmad Hardy's is at 100% and running at full clip here. I think we could push Georgia to the brink. But I don't think we can beat him in Athens. Yeah. I think that's a loss.
Well, I think, you know, reeling off that Longhorn loss, I feel like that's going to carry over to this one. It is a tough, tough place to win. I mean, you could literally count on one hand, it feels like, how many times that's happened under Kirby Smart. And as Mizzou, I mean, there's been a lot of good teams that goes into Athens, and we make this this argument that this is the year, but they still find a way to lose this game. So I got the second loss of the season against them Georgia Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, how about the following week, Shane? With old Kentucky. Oh, Nick Roush will be fired up. He'll be smelling an upset here.
Yeah.
As Kentucky comes to Columbia. But I don't think, Shane, I just don't think. I don't think Kentucky's got a prayer in this one. Come on, I think MIZ Ojeras.
Yeah, Roush is trying to convince me that they're going to go to a bowl game through Mizzou, which is not going to happen. I feel like they were able to bounce back in this game. It could be close. It may be close. This is a different Kentucky football team, but I do think talent will prevail. So give me Mizzou Tigers in this one.
And who knows, Shane? Maybe the SEC pulled a stroke of genius putting Missouri and Oklahoma in the finale now.
Yeah.
Because Oklahoma, I think they're going to be very good. They could be fighting for their playoff lives.
Yeah.
They could be fighting for an SEC championship. I don't know. But if the season plays out the way I see it for Missouri, and even the way you laid it out as well, two losses entering this game, you got to believe that this is a playoff or bust game for Missouri. I don't think you're getting in at 9-3. Now you could, but I think you are obviously a lock at 10-2.
Yeah.
So there's a lot on the line here, Shane. I think Oklahoma, though, again, I've got them in the SEC championship, right? So you know what I think about them. I think this is just too tough of a game for Missouri. We saw that. We saw it swing back. Oklahoma dominated your ass. You're going to need a miracle. And a miracle you shall get, Shay. Debate him. I think John Mateer throws a pick six at the end, just like old whoever, what's his face that has gone, Jackson Arnold. So, I think Mizzou pulls off a stunner here, and Shane's on the Jumbotron again as it happens.
Yeah, I do. I feel like people are sleeping on this football team. Mainly because of the uncertainty that we've talked about in the show a little bit. But I just feel like Drink will get it there. Whatever it is, you know, I trust the direction. I trust the process. And, you know, coming into this game, this is a play-in game for the college football playoffs. And if it were in Norman, I'm giving it to Oklahoma, but it's not. Storybook continues. I got another win. 10-2, Mizzou is back. And a 9-3. And here's the thing. I go back and forth. Realistically, Mike, I I was looking at the Ole Miss and I was looking at this Oklahoma game, and hell, obviously A&M is going to be in that mix too. There are definitely some losable games here, but if they're able to get through A&M and Ole Miss, brother, I feel like you can't stop them, even if they have a couple of bad games. This is a team that could make the playoffs for sure.
Okay, well, I think what you just said was excellent, Shane, because I have most important games.
Yeah.
I got A&M number one. It's a home game. I got at Ole Miss number two. And I got Oklahoma number three.
Yeah.
Now, Oklahoma, you could easily put one, even as high as one, you know, if it is a playoff or bust type game.
Right.
But that's just, it's hard to predict. I think, you know, just think back to what you just said. A&M and Ole Miss, particularly if you can beat both of them, but if you could beat one of them, I think it sets you up for a realistic shot to make his playoff run. But if you lose to A&M and Ole Miss, I don't think there's a path, because it gets so much tougher. So that's why I got A&M as the most important game. It is a home game at Ole Miss. I think it's winnable. And then Oklahoma three. What would you agree or disagree with those?
I definitely agree. And maybe because we're fresh off this optimistic look, and I'm thinking Oklahoma is going to be a playoff game. I do think those early road matchups are so pivotal as well. We kind of glazed over Kansas and even Mississippi State. I just feel like those are the games that catches some of these SEC teams, right? They're the ones big picture. You're thinking about this could be a playoff run. And if that's the case, you know, you don't lose games like that early in the season. You can't afford to lose games. So they're not too far. I do think you nailed Oklahoma, but I do think that game four between Kansas, especially week two, is a lot closer than it should be.
Because of Rick Shaney said he was literally typing in a donation to you picked against.
Oh, I thought he would like that.
All right, final question for you, Shane.
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being high, what's the likelihood Mizzou makes it to the college football playoff?
Realistically, Mike, I will say 3.4.
Have I told you how much I hate your decimal rankings?
You hate it? It just feels like it needs.
There's only 10 options, and many more.
I'm not quite to four. I'm closer to three than I am to four. So three. Boring three.
So,
here's the deal. I think there's a handful of teams in this conference that can make it 9-3 because of this nine-game SEC schedule. And I think Mizzou, as much shit as we've given them the last couple of seasons, actually has a schedule that could set up. So let's say, for instance, they lose to an Ole Miss, an A&M, whatever, and maybe a Texas, but then they beat Georgia and they beat Oklahoma at the end. I could see a scenario where they get in at 9-3. So that's why I've got them at that spot. 9-3, I feel like that would also be a good season too with this schedule.
Shout out P5. Yeah, 3.421111.
Yeah. Damn it, guys. I'm just happy I know numbers these days.
All right. Hey, final thing. I want to honor all these donations, Shane.
Yeah.
Shout out Mizzou Fed for all these nice donations. He gifted 70 of them here.
Jesus.
Mizzou Mark, Scott, House of Racing, Wags, Al Cove, I can't even say that word. John Tracy, Jacob Beavers, Paps, Jerry King, Brandy Martin, Dustin Bryant, Icy Knives. Ooh, what a cool name. Michael Ray Lynn, Willie Eubanks, Brian, Eastbound Dog, Justin Hopkins, Justin Tinsley, Ryan Nichols, Cajun Vol, Jacob Cash, dad of five sweet ones. Falcon, Josie, Rad Detailer, Lucha, It's Only Miguel, Tyler Turnipseed, E.T., Chad Razorback, Ellie Shavarika, I'm sure I butchered that, Mason Cummings, PTG Brandon, Chris Walker, Joshua Willis, Rodney Wilson, Killer Bees, Justin Cord, Florida, only about halfway there, Ghetto Streamlab, Nick Pearson, Brad, Angie Easley, Arvals, Sooner for Life, Dougie Doug, Sakram, Geo Tigers, Sooner D, Taz Bo, Only 10 I See, Kurt Searcy, Atlanta, Mark Miller, and I think that's might be it. Is that 70? I think that was 70.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy
MIC
07. Anything else, Shay, before we hop off of here?
No, man, I enjoyed it. Who we got tomorrow?
I don't know yet.
Oh, okay, all right. So tune in so you can find out if it's your team.
I'll let you do all the work. You figure
it. Yeah, I got it. We'll figure it out. It'll be a shorter show, I promise you. But, hey, I appreciate, Mike, all the work you put into the fall camp previews. And, again, I think we're all smarter because of it. And I really do appreciate it. So I'm not saying that. I don't want to skirt over it. I know you put a lot of work into this. So I appreciate that. And if you appreciate Mike's work, please hit that thumbs up on your way out. And share it with all your Mizzou fans. Better yet, your Oklahoma fans and your Florida fans and your Tennessee fans. Just share it with them.
How about this, Shane? It was going to be A&M.
Arkansas, yeah.
Until Cousin Rick didn't donate.
Oh,
it's not going to be now.
It's on you. Damn it. I knew it.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. M-I-Z.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.